Okay, we're seeking a motion to move back into public session at 8:05 p.m.
So moved.
Second.
By Mark Freda and second by Rachel McLaughlin. We're back in public session. I need a roll call vote. All those in favor of moving back into public session, say aye.
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 All opposed? Now we're back in public session. Thank you for that. Okay, the Board of Education had an opportunity to have a discussion in executive session about Dr. Clark's merit pay. We've crafted a motion, and I would like to ask our board attorney, Mr. Gagliardi, to read the motion.
Thank you, Mr. President.
You're welcome.
The motion I'm reading for the board is action 14-FF-100 on your program. Read as follows. Whereas the superintendent of schools is contractually entitled to have this board consider whether she has met the established criteria for the award of qualitative and quantitative merit pay. And whereas the executive county superintendent of schools has determined that our superintendent of schools has met the established criteria for three goals as provided by law. And whereas the board has deliberated in executive session as to the award of contractual merit pay for the superintendent of schools. Now, therefore, be it resolved that superintendent of schools, Dr. Drusilla Clark, has achieved one quantitative merit goal and two qualitative merit goals, and is hereby awarded $12,911.50, a one-time, non-pensionable, and non-cumulative merit payment for the 2012-2013 school year.
Thank you, Mr. Gagliardi. You may have a second career in game show industry. I appreciate that. I'm seeking a motion for action on item 14-FF-100.
So moved.
By Maria Grant and a second.
Second.
By Michelle Cresti. So we have a motion and a second. I'm going to ask for a discussion on the board on this action item. But first, Dr. Clark, I want to thank you for all of your hard work in 2013-2014. You did a great job, and we're very pleased to be able to award you merit pay tonight. So thank you for the hard work. We really do appreciate it. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I wish I could have met all five goals.
It wasn't for lack of trying, and you set a very high bar, which we'll discuss at another time. But we really do appreciate the progress that you've made in the past year and the effort, especially, that you put into those goals. I know it was not an easy task.
Thank you.
Board members, any discussion on FF-100? Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor? Okay, roll call. Okay.
Thank you. Mrs. Cresti?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins? Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Verderamo?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
No. Okay.
I think I have to abstain. I take that yes back. I apologize. Yes, I would like to, but no, I can't.
Mrs. Verderamo has to abstain on this action item.
Yes.
So can you go back to Mrs. Verderamo?
Sure. Mrs. Verderamo?
Abstain.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Oh, yes, motion carries.
Yes. We have
Thank
six.
You.
I'm going to carry the yes.
That's okay.
Okay, moving on to the report of the superintendent of schools, Dr. Clark.
She'll be in the paper.
Yes. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming out tonight. I'd like to give the enrollment report. The numbers are 1547. And let me just remind everyone that as we've been talking about these enrollment numbers, they are down. They've come down some. And remember I said that one of the critical pieces for us this year is to watch whether or not they normally, what they do is those numbers go up throughout the school year. You start to see them rise. So far, we have not seen a rise in those numbers. So we're watching them carefully. But as I've said before, those are the numbers to watch to see if we move back up to that 1,600 number. As of now, we have not. I'd like to give the suspension report. We have a one-day in-school suspension at Round Valley School, and one one-day in-school suspension at CTMS, the middle school. I'd also like to give the HIB report. We have one investigation at, we have four investigations at Spruce Run School, all determined not to be HIV. We have one investigation at Patrick McGarren, determined not to be HIV. We have three investigations at Round Valley School, all determined not to be HIV. And we have four investigations at CTMS, one determined to be HIV. I would also like to share, we are required now by law to give a little violence and vandalism report periodically during the school year. So this reporting period is for January 1, 2013 through June 30th, 2013. So we had two incidents of violence, zero of vandalism, we had one weapons, four proven HIV, with a total number of incidents as seven. The police were notified in one of these incidents. We had zero in-school suspensions and three out-of-school suspensions. We had a total number of HIV investigations of 47, eight at Spruce Run School, 14 at Patrick McGarren, 15 at Round Valley, and 9 at CTMS. We had four actual HIV incidents, two at Patrick McGarren and two at Round Valley School. That's the end of the reporting information for violence and vandalism. That's the report that we have to file with the state.
Thank you, Dr. Clark. I'm seeking a motion for action items 14 SU 006 through 14 SU 007.
So moved.
By Rachel McLaughlin and a second.
Second.
By Maria Grant. So we have a motion and a second on the superintendent action items. Is there any discussion on SU 6 or 7?
Just a quick question regarding the enrollment report. Under the FF committee, in lieu of Mr. Lloyd being here, Mrs. Sturgis, are you going to be talking about the demographic study at all in conjunction with the same?
Yep, I'll bring it up, and then in discussion, if anybody wants to to add on to that, you're welcome. Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other discussion on the superintendent action items? Okay, seeing none, can we please have a roll call vote?
Mrs. Kresty?
Yes.
Mr. Ferreira?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Bertaramo?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Okay, moving on. We're going to move on to our first public comment section. This is on agenda items only. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak to the Board of Education on items that appear on the agenda. There will be an additional recognition of the public two more times during the meeting, one for agenda items and one for any item that you'd like to discuss. So at this time, is there anybody from the public who would like to speak to the Board of Education about any items on the agenda tonight? Please approach the podium. Does anybody want to speak tonight on agenda items? There's a couple more opportunities, but this is the first opportunity. Okay, seeing none at this time, we'll move on to first recognition of the public. This is also an opportunity for members of the public to speak to the Board of Education. This can be on any item. It doesn't need to be on the agenda. If anybody would like to speak to the Board of Ed, please approach the mic or the podium and tell us your name and where you live.
Hi, Amy MacIsaac, 24 Riverbend Road, Clinton. Two quick things I thought of in the past month that I always forget to mention. I'm not forgetting today. One is calendar questions. Jewish holidays next year are September 25th, 26th, I think, is Rosh Hashanah. So if we could keep that in mind to hopefully get one day next year, that would be really helpful.
Okay.
I vote for that.
We're going to have...
next month, at the December meeting, we're going to send an announcement, we're going to be talking about the calendar, and I'm going to highlight it during my report tonight.
Okay, thank you. The second thing is kind of on the similar vein, which I was reminded of as I went to conferences. When I first moved to this district, I was shocked that we do not have evening conferences, not one night. It is really difficult for working parents, not to mention working parents of four children in this district, trying to get to four conferences in the middle of the workday. If at all possible, and I'm sure teachers hate me, just one night even, or something. And the teachers that we've been really blessed, we've had fantastic teachers, they've gone out of their way, they meet with us, you know, Rainey's there at 8 o'clock in the morning if I need her to be, you know, but if we could just have one night, it would be a lot easier. I don't know how that works with the contracts and unions and all that, but that's just from the parent point of view, it would definitely be easier if we could get some evening options in there for conferences.
Thank you, Mrs. McIsaac. It's something I think maybe we could take up in policy and curriculum.
Absolutely.
Hello, Anna Brennan, 21 Vaughn Drive. I wanted to commend Mrs. Goad and her staff today for the awesome evacuation drill that they did. I happened to be doing a gallery time with my daughter's class and had to participate, and it was really well done. Everyone was calm and all the kids were great, so I think they did a really good job. So I did want to say that. And I had two questions. I didn't want to get up twice. The high scope, is that part of kindergarten as well as preschool? It says action item FF85?
It's a preschool program.
It's preschool.
Okay.
High scope is the preschool program.
Then this is approved a contract with high scope for kindergarten curriculum professional development?
Well, I think
preschool.
Oh, okay. That was one. And then my second question was,
can we friendly correct that?
We haven't moved it yet, so we'll correct it on one second.
Okay. Thank you.
And my second question was, the last item on PC 13, what are our current percentages of these school choice program at? Because I know this says it's going to max it out at 10%. I was just wondering if we had the current numbers. Oh, that's sending? I thought that was. Oh, okay.
You can't take more than 10% of a grade from a sending district.
Oh, from a different sending grade? Oh, so.
Coming into our district.
Oh, okay. Not capping the total amount of school choice kids in it. Okay. That was where I was confused. Okay. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you, Mrs. Vernon. What was that action item that needed to be amended?
The one that needs to be amended is FF85.
It should say preschool, not kindergarten.
Oh.
Because it's high school.
It's okay, what did you mean?
This is a good program.
Okay, any other members of the public? I would like to speak to the Board of Education at this time on any item. Okay, seeing none, we will move on to the report of the School Business Administrator, Mrs. Spitzer.
Thank you. The current date of our next board meeting, it's early because of the holiday schedule. Our next board meeting will be on Monday, December 16th at 7:30 here in the auditorium. Before the board tonight are minutes from the October 21st special meeting, both executive and regular meeting minutes, and then the regular meeting minutes for October 28th as well as the executive session minutes. Financial reports will follow. The audit has been completed. We're finalizing some numbers and working on the CAFR. So we'll have all of those updates for the next meeting on the 16th.
I just wanted to correct something. We thought that we were going to have the audit presentation at the December meeting, and the auditors are telling us they have a conflict with our date, so it may need to be moved to the January meeting if they can't make it.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, he did like 5 presentations the evening he came here.
Right, he's doing a whole bunch at once, so.
Can I ask a question about that? If that's the case, then, could we possibly have the audit meeting at the reorg so that the end of the month isn't so crowded?
That was the plan, and he does have an opening that evening.
Okay, great, thanks.
Okay, we're seeking a motion on 14BA12.
Motion.
By Dan McTiernan, and a second.
Second.
By Maria Grant. So we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion on BA12? Okay, seeing none, could we please have a roll call vote?
Mrs. Cresti?
I abstain on October 21, and yes on October 28.
Mr. Freda?
I was not present for October 21st, so I abstain on the regular minutes and the executive session for October 21st. Yes to October 28th.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes to October 21st, both regular and executive, and October 28th. But on the 28th, I have to abstain from the executive session.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes, to all.
Mrs. Verderamo?
I have to abstain on the executive sessions, but I think I can say yes to October 28th.
Not the 21st.
No, I know. I can say yes to the 28th, right?
Yes. Right. Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Right?
All yes, motion carries.
But I said not to the executive.
Yeah, that was a tricky one. You got to be on your feet in this meeting.
But I think I can do the 28th.
Okay. Speaking of on your feet, we're going to move on to the facilities and finance report. Mr. Malloy's traveling, and I told him I would fill in for him tonight. We actually have a lot going on right now in facilities and finance, so I'll do the report of the chairperson of the committee. We did meet on November 13th. We discussed several items, including school choice. We discussed providing notification within our district to families of children who are currently enrolled in Clinton Township schools. The reason we wanted to notify them is that we noticed going from last year into the new year, when some people relocated, they didn't necessarily realize the impact of their relocation. Some moved out of district. There was at least one family that had some confusion over the districting along the line with Clinton. So Dr. Clark had recommended that we let people know what the impact is for school choice. There's some deadlines. So if anybody that's currently enrolled in the school or has a sibling in the school has any interest in enrolling in school choice, there are deadlines that they have to be aware of. So we are going to send out that notification. We had a discussion about the new healthcare law, how that law will impact our personnel, and we're looking at options and considerations for how the new law impacts our personnel. It's something I imagine all employers are doing right now, but this falls into the purview of the Facilities and Finance Committee and probably also PNN, but this was a discussion in Facilities and Finance. I would say it's probably an early discussion. There's a lot more work to do in this arena. We discussed the budget calendar. We're coming into the budget building season, so at the next several Board of Education meetings, we'll also be having special meetings. You'll be seeing the building of the 2014-2015 budget on the agenda, and there'll be a lot of discussion at the Board of Education level and at the committee level about making recommendations for building next year's budget, and also a lot of opportunity for public comment on the draft budget. We talked about the barn, a little bit of celebration that we got most of the structure removed from the property. Now we have this foundation. We really didn't know exactly what the foundation was going to look like after the barn was removed. But I think we've come to the decision that we want the foundation to go away, as well as an abandoned well. And that FEMA and the state will allow us to remove the foundation. I think the well will be capped at the park. Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are going to supervise the process along with someone from, archaeologist who's going to be supervising it to make sure that the archaeological and wetlands covenants are honored in that process.
So we will be moving forward with the removal of the foundation and capping of a well over at the corner of the property here. We discussed it briefly in the report of the business administrator. We had an audit update in our Facilities and Finance Committee. We do a quarterly update, one of them being the annual. We just finished our third quarter audit, and Mrs. Spitzer was able to update the committee on the how the audit went and the outcomes of the audit. The audit went well. We discussed transportation. It's been on the agenda for at least a couple of board meetings. At the last public meeting, we approved the addition of new routes and the notification of route changes to parents that went out last week. The effective date change for the routes will be December 2nd after the Thanksgiving break. And we discussed the board motions for moving the merit goals that we discussed earlier in the meeting tonight. We discussed radon and air quality, about ongoing testing and monitoring in the facilities. And then lastly, we had a discussion about doing a demographic study of population trends and student enrollment trends in the district. We've received proposals in from three vendors. We had discussion about bringing in one or more of the service providers to present to the Facilities and Finance Committee at the next committee meeting in December. But we can have some further discussion about that after we move the motion. Before I forget, before we do move these motions, I wanted to make the amendment. Thank you, Mrs. Brennan. The amendment is for action item 14FF085. We're going to change the word kindergarten to pre-kindergarten. So the new motion will read, be it resolved that the Board of Education approves a contract with High Scope Incorporated for pre-kindergarten curriculum professional development in the amount of $7,600 for the 2013-2014 school year. Okay, with that very long-winded report, I'm sorry about that, I'm seeking a motion for action items FF080 through FF099.
So moved.
By Mark Freda, and a second.
Second.
By Rachel McLaughlin. So we have a motion and a second on the Facilities and Finance action items. Is there any discussion on these action items?
I have a question on 14FF094, the joint transportation agreement with Del Valle for winter athletic trips. Mm-hmm. That's a shared service agreement. So our kids aren't riding the buses with students from Del Valle. We're just sharing the actual bus service, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
I'd also like to share that after the Finance and Facilities Committee meeting, I did contact Ross Haber and Associates, who made one of the demographic proposals, and he has a proposal that is not only to do a demographic study, but also to look at facilities and the feasibility based on the demographic study. So what he does is he looks at the demographics first, and then he meets with the principals, looks at the buildings, looks at classrooms, considers how Clinton Township runs their programs and their classes. He looks at all of that, and then he overlays the demographic predictions on top of our buildings for the next 3 to 5 years. So we get an idea of what our buildings will look like as well, and how the demographics will impact our specific buildings. So he really does a very broad scope study, which is different than what many of the other demographic groups did. And I spoke to him. He is going to be able to come to our December 9th committee meeting and present, and I shared with him the questions that we had up front and some of the information that we wanted in terms of the reliability of what his numbers have looked like in the past based on previous studies. So he's going to bring all of that data with him to the meeting.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Clark.
Dr. Clark, does his analysis include the effects of school choice?
He said he would consider whatever we wanted him to consider.
So that would be our direction or input?
Yes.
I know during our committee meeting, we had talked about gathering information that we felt that we needed internally on by the committee, as well as what the public would like addressed and answered during this demographic study, as well as what the staff may want, not the outcome to be, but information provided when the study was completed. So I'm confident there'll be a process where those types of things we can talk to the board, get the board's feedback, as well as get feedback from members of the community, members of the staff, and parents within the district, so we make sure we can address everybody's questions at the end of the study.
Any other discussion on facilities and finance action items?
On 095, we talked about the tentative budget, but did we talk about the rationale of the changing of dates possibly? A member of the committee talked about that some of the dates might be shifted, or could we elaborate on that perhaps?
Yeah, would you mind?
Thank you.
The budget calendar that's on the agenda is very, very tentative. We based it on, what the trend has been over the last several years in the budgeting process. There is a bill on the floor asking for an extension of approximately 3 weeks in the submission of the budget process that not has been, because we do our vote in November. So it's really a long period of time. So this is pretty preliminary in order to, get the process going, but there may be amendments, and more than likely will be amendments as we go forward to see what the representatives at the state are going to do.
Thank you.
If you recall, over the last couple of years, when we present the budget to the public, we often have these very, very tight timelines that become very stressful for everyone. And that's why I believe there's a bill on the floor to look at those timelines and see if there's any way to adjust them. So please remember that this budget calendar is very, very tentative and may change based on changes in what's coming up.
Thank you.
Okay, any other discussion on facilities and finance? Okay, seeing none, can we please have roll call vote?
Mrs. Cresti?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Tortorello?
All except Action 13 FF080.
Yes,
all F.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Okay, moving on to the Personnel and Negotiations Committee. Dan McTiernan is the chairperson of this committee. Dan, could you give us a report on the activities of your committee, please?
Sure. A number of things have been going on. The DEAC committee has continued to meet. In fact, its next meeting is scheduled for January of next year, if I have that date right. Unfortunately, I missed the last meeting, but again, they continue to look at teacher evaluations, student guides, et cetera, to be sure that we're on track to meet all state and federally mandated objectives in regards to those particular areas. I think the committee is to be extremely complimented on the interactions between administrators, the teachers, and looking for ways to make this work within the school system at Clinton Township Schools. So look forward to more continued aggressive, proactive meetings as they take place with a great group of people. We also in some negotiations now is that we should be finalizing some of our contracts. Non-affiliated contract should be up for approval at the next meeting, along with the administrative staff we met with last week. We have another meeting scheduled with them this coming Thursday, I believe. On the agenda, we also have 9 items for approval here. Most of those are due to the everyday workings of the school district. We have some maternity leaves, dates that are being established, a date that's being extended, a teacher coming in to replace a person who's going on maternity leave, approval for a lunch aid, 2 substitutes, a teacher, and also a teacher's aide. We also have another administrative intern that's coming on board for some educational experiences with us, the resignation of a TA, and also critically here is that a contract extension for Dr. Tariff, who is our Director of Special Education. We are looking to fill that position permanently. I know interviews are taking place and going on. So we'll be extending right now is Dr. Tariff through March of 2014. That's really an extension, I think, through December, the end of December through March, which is 3 days a week. So with that, I would put those nine items up for approval.
Okay, so we're seeking a motion on 14 PN 116 through 14 PN 124.
I'll make that motion.
A motion by Mr. McTiernan and a second.
I could second it.
And Mrs. Bertaramo. So we have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion on the personnel negotiations action item? Dr. Clark, would you mind speaking a little bit about the process for hiring a permanent director of special services, how it's going?
Yes, it's been challenging. We do have some finalists in the process and are putting a committee together. I have some teachers who've volunteered. I'm trying to find an open date in the beginning of December, which is another challenge with everyone's calendar. So I'm trying to put something together, and I do have a couple of board members who have expressed an interest on being on the committee. And so hopefully we can get that started the first week of November and bring something to the board, I hope, at the December meeting, but maybe it'll take till January. I hope. But we have a couple of very strong candidates who are very interested in the district and very experienced.
Thank you, Dr. Clark. Any other discussion on the PNN action items? Okay, seeing none, can we please have a roll call vote?
Mrs. Krusty?
Yes.
Mr. Fredo?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Bertaramo?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Okay, moving on to our policy and curriculum committee. Rachel McLaughlin is the chairperson of this committee. Mrs. McLaughlin, could you give us a report on the activities of your committee?
The Policy and Curriculum Committee met on November 12th for a very long and spirited meeting. And although we don't have many action items to show for it, we are busy in our committee. We began the process of looking at the preliminary calendar. We are aware that North Hunterdon has recently approved their calendar for next year, and we know the parents are anxious to set their schedules for the year. We are going to be inviting parents via e-blast and on our website to attend the public session in December to provide input on the calendar for next year. So we'll be collecting the data in December and hopefully making a calendar recommendation in January. We have also begun preliminary budget discussions. We're looking at some curricular resources that we may need as our district moves to align fully to the Common Core, particularly in the area of math for 7th and 8th grade. We also began a discussion about the committee for full-day kindergarten, which I will be chairing, and we hope to have enough information to provide a report to the board in January. We also took a look at some policies which you see tonight before you on the action items. They were also posted on the website for the public to view. In addition to the policies before you for first reading, we will also be initiating additional policies in December. So we've been doing a lot of policy discussion. The policies tonight on the agenda have to do with bylaws regarding board member election, annual appointments, public participation are some of the highlights, and policies involving assignment of pupils, pupil assessment, and smoking in the buildings and grounds. The majority of the policies, we really didn't have many language changes. We, for the most part, accepted the policies as is, but they just needed some current updating. We also have an action item tonight to limit the maximum amount of students in the school choice program from sending districts so that we cannot take more than 10% of any grade of any sending district. So despite the fact that we only have two action items moving forward tonight on our agenda, we have a lot of things happening in committee.
Thank you, Mrs. McLaughlin.
So with that being said, I would like to move forward. Action item 14PC012 and 14PC013.
So we have a motion on 12 and 13. Do we have a second?
Second.
By Mrs. Krusty. So we have the motion and the second. Is there any discussion on the policy and curriculum action items?
Yes. I've got questions on policy and regulations 5300. I know that maybe off just a little bit, but I'm going to say 6 or 7 years ago, I know there was training, CPR training, that was provided at all of the buildings to the teachers. I'm just wondering, do we still have a good, valid list of people that have been through that training? Has it been renewed? And does it need to be refreshed?
The nurses keep track of that, and they are constantly sending out requests to find out who's trained, who isn't trained, how many people we need. Our nurses do a fabulous job, and they track all of this data and information for us very well. So, yes, they update it continually.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Any other questions on policy and curriculum? Okay, seeing none, can we please have a roll call vote?
Mrs. Kresty?
Yes.
Mr. Ferreira?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Verderamo?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Okay, moving on to the Communications Committee. Maria Grant is the chairperson of this committee. Mrs. Grant, can you update us on the activities of your committee?
Certainly. As a result of a very busy evening calendar for the district in the month of November, we were not able to meet this particular month. However, changes to the website have begun, and I'm happy to say things are moving along very quickly with that and very well. We will continue to work during the month of December via email exchange back and forth to prioritize and establish priorities for which sections of the website should be addressed and fixed first. So we'll continue on with that. We feel we can do a lot of that via email versus a committee meeting because it's been very difficult to find times on the calendar to do that. So that's our focus at the moment is the website, and it's moving along very well. That's my report.
Thank you, Mrs. Grant.
I would like to share that part of the communications, when they did the committee did the survey regarding the newsletter, some of the information they came back to me with had to do with making sure that we share some of the committee reports and information with the wider community. So when I was writing the newsletter this month, I tried to give kind of a mini committee report for each of the committees and give some key items that the committees are discussing so that as people are reading that, they can see what the board is doing. Even if they're not able to attend these meetings, they have a general idea based on the survey that we did.
Thank you, Dr. Clark. Any other discussion on communications? Okay, seeing none, we can move on to old business. Old business is an opportunity for members of the board to bring up any business that we've previously discussed. Does anyone on the board have any old business they would like to discuss?
I do. I've brought this up several times, but I know that currently we don't have any board goals, and I do know that starting in January, we will have some new board members. So I was wondering if potentially we could get a date on the calendar for January, February, or March to talk about board goals.
Yep, that sounds like a good idea. Mrs. Spitzer, could you assist us, or could Tracy possibly assist us with organizing a date?
Dr. Clark, did you reach out?
I did reach out and to Pam Fiander. She is unavailable, not able to meet with us at all as a facilitator.
Okay. Regardless of her availability, we still need to meet. Well, we can discuss it. We don't have to discuss it here. We've had a facilitator in the past. It's helpful to have a facilitator to move the discussion along. I guess we can discuss as a board. Actually, we can do that here. Would we like to have a facilitator at a potential board retreat to discuss board goals?
I think it's important to have someone facilitate it, put some boundaries around our discussion and help lead us in a direction and keep us focused. I think when we've had that in the past, it's worked out well for us. But I think the most important part of doing that is getting the right individual. And we've done this in the past where we've had individuals do it who didn't really facilitate the meeting in a very productive way, so our goals may not have been as robust and direct and met the needs of our district.
You mean like the school board?
I was trying to be politically correct.
It is what it is.
But after that, we've had, you know, someone who was very good, and I found that the discussions that she led us in were very, very productive and mm-hmm. serve as the foundation for a lot of what we do and how we act as a board. So I think if we could take some consideration into looking for someone of good quality outside of what we've done in the past, I would like to suggest that.
Okay. If anyone has any suggestions on a facilitator, or Mrs. Spitzer, if you know of any resources from your resources, that would be something to consider. Maybe we could do that in policy and curriculum, Rachel, just that discussion of,
Of who?
We have to follow through a committee, unless we want to come back here and do it at the next board meeting. But
that's fine. I can put it on the agenda.
Yeah, we need some clearinghouse to try and narrow down that information and maybe the discussion about the facilitators and make recommendations to the board.
And maybe Mrs. Feyender can even recommend somebody who she thinks might.
Yeah, she didn't have anyone I asked.
I have some resources. I'll get some names.
Okay, thanks.
I'll reach out to the superintendent's group and find out if there's anyone that they've used who's been helpful.
So I would say tentatively, I would think maybe either late January or February. We've got the ad hoc committee asking for a report late January. We've got new board members starting, I think it's January 6th this year. Mm-hmm. So late in the month of January or in the month of February before the February board meeting, that would be a good time to shoot.
Why don't we try to shoot for January just so we can get it, you know, where we're going, and we can develop how we're going to get there. I think the further we push it out, if there's a snowstorm, then we push it out again.
We're going to have extra budget meetings in there, so
right.
Yeah.
I'm thinking sooner is better.
Soon is better, I think. Kevin.
Okay. So anybody else? You want to do January or February?
Well, two questions. When is the reorg meeting date been set?
Yeah.
At 6. Shouldn't we wait until we have the two new members here to ensure their calendars are available? As long as we can make sure that they're here, because I think participation in some things has been an issue.
Yeah. We really do want to have full board participation in that meeting.
Mr. Gagliardi, is it okay if we reach out to them before they're sworn in as board members?
Yes.
Well, maybe we could do that then.
Okay, so let's see how people look for January. We can shoot for January. If that doesn't work out, we'll shoot for February. But I think the key thing is we want to have full board participation if we can.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Thanks, Mrs. McLaughlin. I have something on old business. We had a discussion in facilities and finance just about update on capital projects. In the last year in the budgeting process, we had a lot of discussion at these board meetings about funding capital projects. So there are several capital projects that they've either been completed, they're underway, or they're still to be planned, or they're in the application process for grants or approvals by the state. So we're going to have an update in our next Facilities and Finance Committee meeting, but I just wanted to give a bit of an update to the members of the public that we have undertaken several facilities and finance capital improvement projects that you may or may not have seen to be ongoing in the schools.
Are you going to highlight them?
Not here. We need an update in committee first.
Okay.
We just wanted to make sure, I wanted to make sure that members of the board and members of the public know that those projects that we did fund last year, they're well underway. And some of them are complete. Old business. Is there any other old business from members of the board?
Yes. We talked about budget season coming into play soon, and I just want us as a board to be cognizant and exercise due diligence as it relates to perhaps school choice down the road. Rumblings, things may change. I don't know. That's what the rumblings are for the 14-15 year. So I just want to make sure that we're, you know, cognizant of the situation as we bring it into the budget. It is a big part of our budget, and we do a lot with that. But it may not be what it is, and we need to take consideration into the possible changes. You know, the governor's having his budget soon, and things may change.
Yeah, we have to see what is in the new budget, and we probably should bring that up in a committee meeting when we're building the budget.
I think it's very important we maintain a keen eye on that.
Any other old business? Okay, moving on to new business. This is for members of the board. Is there any new business anybody would like to bring up? Okay, seeing none, we move on to second recognition of the public. It's a third and final opportunity for members of the public to speak to the Board of Education. This can be on any topic. It doesn't need to be on the agenda. Please just approach the mic and tell us who you are and where you live.
I forgot to ask a question. You reminded me. Are you going to send out the...
Mrs. MacIsaac, sorry. We have to record that.
Oh, Amy MacIsaac, 24 Riverbend Road, Clinton, New Jersey.
Thank you.
Last year you sent out the survey about the calendar. Are you planning on doing that again or you're not? And how valuable was the information that you got?
It was valuable. We also decided that we should have a public input session.
So this will be instead of the survey?
It goes along with it. We still have the survey as data. And we could send out another survey. I don't know that...
And the survey was well attended. I mean, it was like 500... About 500 people participated in the survey. And I think, if I recall, it was a 50-50 split.
It was.
So,
wow.
You know, I think a lot of it, if people had children at North, they want it all to start at once. If they just had children at CTSD, they still value the Labor Day weekend in the last week of August for, you know, for their vacation. So it was probably the most successful one that we've had as far as participation. But it kind of didn't
but not
help
as far as
because it was 50-50.
Yeah. Okay. I know that that was a very big hit with my block. All the parents were talking about the survey. People who never talk about a board meeting, they were all doing that survey. Mm-hmm. Everybody had an opinion about it. So I just didn't know if it was something you were planning on doing annually and kind of tracking the results year over year, or that was too much of a bother. And it was just
It's not a bother. It's very simple to do.
We could do it. Yeah. Maybe some of our population has shifted, and maybe it'll be 60-40 now.
More input.
I don't know. I mean, I was at a birthday party this weekend with my first grader, and I was talking to a mother who just moved. She's new to our district, three kids in our district, and I actually moved from Pennsylvania, half an hour away in Pennsylvania. And I said to her, why did you move to Clinton Township? And she said, the schools. And that is why I'm so against school choice, because I want people to continue to move here for our schools. Our schools have a great reputation. I was so happy to hear that from this woman. You know, it just kind of verified my feeling about our schools, that other people really regard our schools so highly. And I think they stand on their own. You know, I just don't...
Mrs. MacIsaac, why would you think school choice would lower the quality of our schools?
It lowers your property value. People don't need to move here to go to our school.
How does that lower the property value?
Yeah.
I feel like it will over time if it hasn't already, because you can live in a town where maybe the cost of housing is less, and not that those people don't deserve education the same as ours, they do, but as a property owner in the town, I feel like one of the reasons, the reason I moved here as well is the schools. As a lot of people I've spoken to, they move here for the schools. And I just feel like if you have school choice and somebody who's living in Phillipsburg or another area that has housing that may be less expensive and they're getting to go to our schools, then why would people continue to move here if they can get a house that costs less money outside of Clinton Township and still have the benefit of our school at no cost to them?
One reason would be that it's limited. Like, what is our school choice enrollment application at, 105?
110.
Out of 1550, so less than 8% of the enrolled population is school choice, and that's a limiting factor. But one thing, and you know, we have varying opinions on this that we've discussed at board meetings, and I'm sure we'll discuss at additional board meetings as long as the program is alive, is the things that it allows us to do. It's funding that it's very difficult for us to get funding from the state in this part of the state. There's very little available. It's one of the only areas where we can get additional funding from the state that allows us to do programs that make our schools what they are, address areas of concern, add enrichment programs that we might not be able to do if we didn't have the funding, and also reduce the tax levy. It's revenue that helps us keep the school budgets where they are. Alternatively, we would have to either eliminate programs or raise the tax level.
And that's my point as well. Like you said, you know, there's a lot of talk about it going away. And if it did go away, if less people chose to come here, I don't like counting on that money for certain programs I want to continue eternally. You know, as a one-time event, okay, great, it's a bonus. But to use that money in the budget to count on it, to have higher staff that we want to stay, even if the program goes away, then what do we do?
That's a very valid concern.
I think that's a concern that all of us as board members, and we've been talking about it in great length since Dr. Clark has gotten here and before time. Dr. Clark is very cognizant and on as to how we spend that money so that we don't fall in the quagmire. Right. If that money gets pulled away,
That's what I'm always thinking.
Okay, right. So between Ms. Spitzer and Dr. Clark and the concern of the whole board, as we move forward with budget conversations last year and this year, we're making sure that money is used in a way that it doesn't jeopardize our ability to function as a school district, because we share the same concerns as you do. Yeah.
We know it could go away.
Right.
The state funding has gone away in the past.
Yeah.
The small amount of funding that we did get. And this is funding. So it can always go away in one budget cycle. So you're right, it is something you need to be careful about and you have to, you know, go into it with your eyes open. But there's benefits to the program as well.
No, I recognize that. What happens if, say, it does go away? For example, the birthday party I was at for the first grader.
I don't think the birthday party will go away.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
No. There, four siblings behind her. She's a school choice child. She comes to our district from school choice. She doesn't live in town. And both her parents are teachers, by the way, which I thought said a lot about our district, that they're sending their child to our district. So she's got four siblings behind her. So if it goes away when she's in second grade, third grade, do those siblings still get the opportunity to come, or only the kids that are actually enrolled? So their family could be split.
Right. Yes.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yes, and we're really being very careful on what spots we're opening up, because what I don't want to do is if we were, because we were one of the first school choice districts, we've had many opportunities to expand our numbers even higher. Mm-hmm. That's not the case in every district. As more districts have been interested in it, their numbers have been kept a little bit smaller. Our numbers, we were able to open it up a lot. I could have gone higher, but as the board discussed it, what our concern was is that we wanted to fill in some of the spots we had in sections across the district and across grade levels. We did not want to be adding so many students that we were adding more sections, if we could avoid that. So we were filling in spots across. And if you look at the openings we have, we're really not opening it up at all this coming year to the lower grades. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting a lot of calls about that. But because I would have to add so many sections, then what happens is the money you're taking in is really used up in other ways and not really
not
productive for the district.
Right.
You walk a fine line in how you do this.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much. It was helpful information.
You brought up your point about the siblings, but highlights that point exactly about the only way that you can guarantee your entire family gets to go to school here in Clinton Township is by living here. So it's by taking the chance of picking another town, a surrounding town, and then saying, well, I'm going to opt for school choice. That's a little bit of a roll of the dice. It's a lot of bit of a roll of the dice. So you may get your one kid in, but everybody else might not have a spot. So by you living here is the way that you guarantee your children the education here in Clinton Township. All the rest is just literally luck of the draw and how the numbers work out. So, rest assured that your property value, the value here is maintained by that guarantee.
Right. Okay. That's a good point. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mrs. McIsaac. Any other members of the public would like to speak to the board on any topic? Okay, no more speakers at this time. We're going to move on to our second executive session. when we come back from this executive session, no action will be taken. It's a discussion about a contract, an employee contract. When we come back in, we're going to open the meeting, and then we're going to adjourn the meeting. So at this time, Mrs. Spitzer, would you please read the language for the second executive session?
Whereas while Senator Byron and Fair open to Public Meetings Act NJSA 10:4-6 require all meetings of the Township Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10:4-12b sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e. without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12b to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any collective bargaining agreement or the terms and conditions of which are proposed for inclusion in any collective bargaining agreement, including the negotiation of terms and conditions with employees or representatives of employees of the public body. The collective bargaining contract discussed is between the Clinton Township Board of Education and the Clinton Township Education Association. Whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 60 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action will not be taken upon return.
Okay, I'm seeking a motion to move into executive session.
Motion.
Second.
A motion by Dan McTiernan and a second by Michelle Kresty. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you, everybody, for coming tonight. We appreciate you coming out.